and more I look at life is the more and more I come to the realization that life is all about balance. Life is all about balance. Balance is very important in order for us to have any kind of success in life, in us, for us to be the people that God have called us to be. Now, we need to be balanced in our health. We need to be balanced in our finances. We need to be balanced in our careers. We need to be balanced just in life totally. And when I think about health, you know, doctors come out with some of the most amazing things when they talk about health. And one of the things that they say, in order for you to be healthy, one of the things that is necessary is that you must have a what? Balanced diet, right? So you must have a diet that that has the right amount of fruits and vegetables, and you also need to have the right amount of beans, and you also need to have some proteins in there in order for you to be healthy. And I find that out, and I'm realizing that I'm actually out of compliance with what the doctor's recommendation is. You know, being from the islands, I consume a lot of meat, but I put the vegetables aside. As a matter of fact, I don't eat vegetable when my wife is not around. But when she's around, I always eat vegetables. Because she always say, why are you not eating your vegetables? You know, so in order for us to keep that weight in check, the doctors order us to have that balanced diet. Now, here's the thing. Everybody also who has a car knows that that car needs to be balanced, right? And you know that every time you go to get some new tires on that car, one of the things that the mechanics always recommend is for you to get what? An alignment. And the reason why they tell you to get an alignment is because as you put that new tire on and you're beginning to drive, you will find that the car needs a lot more of your maneuvering of the steering in order for it to keep straight. And you will find that if the car is not aligned properly, it will be swerving to either the left or towards the right. So you might be driving down the highway, and we're seeing you going all the way over to the left or all the way over to the right, and we're wondering, what's going on with that person? The reason why is probably because they're out of alignment. Now, there are some of you that are here that also realize that your finances need to be balanced. And in doing that, every month you sit down with your family and you take out the checkbook and you do what? You balance the checkbook. Now, if there's any of you that are here that works in the banking industry, you may find this unnecessary, correct? Some of you guys didn't get that, but all right. We'll move on. So your checkbook needs to be evenly balanced. And I don't know about you guys, but coming from the Caribbean, my parents believed in balance. They believed in balance so much that even when it comes to discipline, they made sure that you were properly balanced. And here is what I'm talking about. For most of you guys that are from the islands or have any Caribbean parents background, you will find that when it comes to discipline, our parents are crazy. Let me just put it that way. You know, I'm telling you the truth. If they had DCF in the islands, they would have called them on our parents long, long time ago. Because some of the things that they do to us is just traumatic. As a matter of fact, I'm still traumatized from some of the stuff that my grandmother did to me when I was a kid. And I remember one particular time when I did something wrong, and my grandmother, she believed in putting you in the corner. But you see, this is not like how we are used to it in the United States, where when you do something wrong, your parents say, go in the corner and time out. And you go in the corner and you stand in there for a little bit of time. And sometimes you're playing and you're twiddling your thumb or you're looking around. No, no, no. In the islands, we just got to add a little bit extra to it. What they do is they send you in the corner. And when they send you in the corner, they tell you, well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to put one hand on your earlobe. And then after you put your hand on the earlobe, then you're going to hold one of your foot. And you're going to stand there in that corner in that position until you realize what you have done wrong. And you know, here's the thing. Our parents and my grandmother, she had this unique ability that if I was ever off balance, she would correct it. And she would use the rod of correction to make sure that I stayed in balance. So you would see kids standing there in the corner like dancing. You'd be thinking that they want to go to the bathroom, but they really don't. They're just trying to figure out a way how to balance themselves. You know, so our parents, they traumatize us with all this kind of stuff. And I got to tell you this, you know, here's the thing. Just like how my parents believe in balance, God also believes in balance. And I believe that specifically from Scripture, because if you really go back to the beginning of time, you would see that God is very, very, very interested in balance. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God created the earth in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. But not only that, you found that when God was creating the earth, the Bible says that God created the sun to rule what? The day? And then he also created the moon to rule by night. So God had some kind of balance there. And then God went and he created mankind. And after God created mankind, he realized that there was just something off. It was off balance because he created all the animals and all the animals were paired up. And he realized that, okay, I created man, but he's just something that just ain't right. Something that just doesn't seem balanced. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to create woman. And so God created woman so that now mankind is what? Balanced. But something happened after God created man and woman in the garden that caused us to become off balance. And that was when the presence of sin came into play. And ever since sin came into our lives, guess what? Mankind have been off balance ever since. Now, here's the thing. God wants you and I to live a balanced life. But most of us, we may think that in order for us to have that balanced life, it has a lot to do with us and a lot of things that we have to do for ourselves in order to regain that kind of balance. And so you wonder to yourself, well, how is it that I can gain this balance? Now, here's the thing. Because mankind have sinned and have deteriorated from God's original plan, God decided that there is a way that I'm going to bring back balance into mankind. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And so that if you and I have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it will begin to bring that balance. Because here's why. You cannot achieve balance by yourself. As a matter of fact, you saw that God was the one that instituted balance. So the problem with many of us is that we are trying to do it all by ourselves, but you just cannot. And today we're going to talk about a young man who recognized that his life was so off balance and he couldn't figure out what it was. And he wanted to go out there and to find a way in order so that he can regain that balance. And so what did he do? He was walking one day and he saw Jesus. And he knowing who Jesus was, and he said, you know what, I want to see if I can get this balance back in my life. So you know what, I'm going to ask this guy here, because there is just something special about this guy. And he said, I'm going to ask him. And so he went to Jesus and he asked Jesus, how can I regain that balance into my life? And you know what? Jesus gave him the answer. And after he received the answer, he realized that, listen, I have a decision to make. But here's the question. Did he make the right decision? Did he regain the balance back in his life? Let's just see from the scriptures. If you have your Bibles with me, can you turn to the book of Matthew chapter 19? We'll be reading from verse number 16 all the way to verse number 22. 16 to 22. If you don't have your Bibles, you may see it on the overhead projector. If not, I am just going to read it here so we can all get acquainted of what's going on. All right? So Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, I'm going to read it first and then we're going to go through it real quick. So it says, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked him, teacher, what good things must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse number 17, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. 18, which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false witness or false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus looked at him and Jesus answered and he said, hey, listen, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. And verse number 22 says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Wow. What a tragedy. Very interesting.
So here you find this young man, and he's very, very, he's a very, very responsible young man. He's a young man who is really growing, and he's very inquisitive. So he realized that there was something missing in his life, and he was trying to figure out what is it that is missing into his life. Then he realized that he pinpointed what the missing piece is. He realized that, listen, I don't have this eternal life that I hear this Jesus guy keeps talking about, and I'm really trying to figure out what this eternal life is. And as he looked at his life, he realized, I got some stuff, but I don't have that eternal life. And so he came to Jesus and he wanted to find out, okay, tell me about this eternal life. How can I get this eternal life that you really have? And then Jesus began to explain to him. But first, before we get into that, let's first kind of identify who this man is. Now, this is a particular passage that is covered by several of the other Gospels. It's also covered by Mark, and it's also covered by Luke. So Luke and Mark tells the same story. However, they may had a little bit more details to the story than Matthew did. All right? And then we're going to uncover some of those things. So what is it about this man that is very interesting? And let's just look at it. It says that, just then a man came to Jesus and he asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to inherit eternal life? What is the good things that I must do in order to inherit eternal life?" Now, here's the thing. Mark and Luke have both concluded that there is something very interesting about this young man. And here's the interesting thing. First thing that they said is that this is a young man. He's a young man that walks up to Jesus, and he had this great question to ask Jesus. Now, when a young person comes up to you and asks you such a remarkable question, that kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? Because, you know, young people are not really thinking about that kind of stuff. This guy is not only thinking about his life in the present, but he's also thinking about what happens on the day that I die. What's going to happen? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to spend eternity? Just imagine the wealth of the question that he's actually asking Jesus. And so the Bible says that he was young. But not only did it say that he was young, but the Bible also says that this man was rich. Young and rich. But not only did it say that he was young and he was rich, but by the inquiry of his question, you find that he was also religious. He was a rich, young, religious person. And one more other details about him that they talk about in the other Gospels is that he was a ruler. Now, he wasn't really like a like one of the rabbis, but he ruled in the church, in the synagogues. Right? And so when he came to Jesus, he understood these things because he already grew up in them. Now, here it is, a young man, he's young, he's rich, he's a ruler, and he's religious. For most people, we'll call that he's a meebe. And what's a meebe? He's the most eligible bachelor. Now, if he walked into this church right now, I guarantee you, he might be having a lot of eyes looking at him before he walks out. Why? Because he was young, rich, a ruler, and he was religious. As a matter of fact, this is the type of young man that most young ladies would want to take home and say, "Mom, I want you to meet so-and-so. Guess what? He's young. Young. He's not only that, Mom, but the man got some dough. He's rich. Not only that, Mom, but he got his own business. He got people under him. People work for him. People answer to him." And you want to hear the best part about it, Mom? And I know that because you go to church, and I know that because you really want to see me marry someone who is following the Lord. Guess what? He goes to church. He's religious, Mom. Yeah. And so this was the identification that the Bible here is given about this young man. So he would be considered one of the most eligible bachelors. But here's the thing. He walked up to Jesus with humility. He didn't just walk up to Jesus with all of that just to say, "Hey, listen, Jesus, I got a question to ask you." Right? And I want you to answer it. Right? No. He walked up to Jesus, and the Bible says that he actually fell down on his knees. He bowed down to Jesus. And it was a sign of respect. He respected Jesus. Why? Because he heard some good stuff about Jesus. He heard that Jesus was a teacher. He heard that Jesus was a rabbi. And here's the thing. When you are a ruler in the Jerusalem church, one of the things that you don't want to do is actually elevate those rabbis. So you don't want to go around and say that, "Oh, he's a great rapper," because, you know, you're a ruler yourself. And so this young man, he walked up to Jesus and he was humble. He bowed his knee before Jesus. And then he said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus," and he says, good teacher. And that was a very interesting question that he asked. He said, good teacher. Why did he say good teacher? And the reason why he said good teacher was because he recognized that there was something special about Jesus. Something special about Jesus that wasn't special about everybody else. That's why he walked up to Jesus and he says, you're a good teacher. You're a good religious guy. You know your stuff. It's evident that God has his hand on you. But it doesn't mean that he still recognized who Jesus really is. And so Jesus said to him, hey, listen, all right? So he says, he came to Jesus and he asked, good teacher, what good things must I do in order to inherit eternal life? What good things must I do? He recognized that, listen, I have a whole lot of stuff. I am young, I'm rich, I'm a ruler, and not only that, but I'm religious. But he realized that even though all these things would make one's life seem balanced, it was still off balance. There was still something missing. And he couldn't figure it out. And he identified that it's this eternal life thing. And he figured, you know, if I had this eternal life thing, maybe my life would be balanced. And so he says, okay, so Jesus, what good things can I do in order to inherit this eternal life that you have? So Jesus stood back and Jesus said, hey, wait a second. Let me ask you a question. What do you mean by good? Now, Jesus wasn't asking the question because he didn't know. Here's the thing. Anytime Jesus asks a question, he's not asking it because of lack of knowledge. He is asking it because he wants the person of whom he's asking the question to become aware of what they're asking. And so Jesus said to this young man, hey, what do you mean by good? Not only that, but then Jesus says, for there is only one that is good. So what Jesus was saying is, listen, you don't even know what you're actually saying. You're coming to me and you're giving me the title of being good, but you don't really realize who you're really talking to. You think that I'm just a good rabbi. You think that I'm just a good teacher. But you understand that the only person that you can ever consider good is God. And so Jesus is saying, hey, the fact that you've identified, that you know that the only good person is God, and you're coming to me and you're saying, good, don't you realize who you're really talking to? And so he came to Jesus and he says, hey, good teacher, what must I do in order to inherit this eternal life? So we talk about the man, and now we go to the question. So the question is, what good must I do to inherit eternal life? Now here is the thing. It's showing you here that this young man had a certain belief system. His belief system is, if I do good things, then I'm going to get eternal life. If I do some good things, if I do some good deeds, then I can inherit eternal life. And this is the same way how most of us believe. You see, a lot of us, we come to church on a regular basis. We follow the whole thing that happens at church. We come, we bring our Bibles, we pray, and we read the Word of God, and we sing when the choir is singing, or when the praise team is singing, we're singing, and we participate. When they're having prayer meetings, sometimes we go there, and when the church asks for a donation for certain things, we go, oh yes, I'm a give. Love, salt, flour, I'm giving, I'm there, I'm going to make sure I give. And so we think that just because I'm doing all the right things, it's going to equal me having this eternal life. And so this young man, he came to Jesus and he said, hey, Jesus, I want to know, what are the good things that I can do to inherit this life? How can I inherit this eternal life that you have? How can I do it? So he believed that by doing his good work, he will have that eternal life. And not only that, but now he will finally have some balance in his life. He will finally have some balance in his life. So Jesus now decided, okay, since you're a good young man who is rich and religious, all right, guess what? I'm going to answer your question. So Jesus went on to the next part. He says, okay, let me answer your question. So here's the answer, Jesus says. Okay, you want to know what the answer is? Do you want to really inherit eternal life? Here's the answer. Follow the commandments. Say that again, Jesus. says, oh yeah, if you really want to be good, and if you really want to inherit this eternal life, here's the thing that I want you to do. I want you to keep the Ten Commandments. I want you to keep the Ten Commandments. And this young man, he was actually, a little, this is when now he became a little bit puffed up. And he probably had some servants next to him. And he was like, did Jesus just say follow the Ten Commandments? And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. All right, Jesus, I'm with you. You want me to follow the Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah, all right. Which one? Oh, which one? Okay, so Jesus says, okay, here we go. Here's the one that I want you to follow. Here's the one. I want you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man looked at Jesus, and he started smiling. And he said, looked at his friends next to him probably, and he was like, hey, listen, you hear what Jesus just says? Honor my parents, and I should love my neighbor as myself. Guess what, Jesus? Hey, listen, he doesn't know that. Hey, listen, Jesus, all right, you want me to do what? You want me to honor my parents? You want me to do what? What do you want me to do? You want me to shall not murder? Check. All right, I got that one done. What's next, Jesus? Oh, you shall not commit adultery. That means that not only should you not sleep with someone other than your wife, but you should not even look at somebody. Oh, you know what, Jesus? You know what? Since I'm religious, guess what? I got that check. Then he goes on to the next one. He says, oh, you should not steal. Oh, I've never stolen anything from anybody. As a matter of fact, my riches was inherited, so I really didn't have to steal anything from nobody. So you know what? I got that one check. And then he says, oh, you shall not have any bear any false witness. Oh, I should not lie. Okay, Jesus, no problem. Check. And so he went down the list and he check. And then he said to Jesus, hey, listen, Jesus, guess what? Listen, Jesus, you're telling me to do something. Listen, all of these things I've been doing since I was a kid. I've been doing all of these things. I'm perfect in all these things, Jesus. I have no problem. Or did he? And so Jesus began to kind of reveal to him a little bit of to what is really going on. See, Jesus actually pointed out to the second half of the Ten Commandments. Now, the second half of the Ten Commandments had to deal with relationships. The first half of it had to deal with your relationship to God, and the second half of the commandment had to deal with our relationship with each other. So Jesus didn't even touch on the first part. Jesus says, okay, since you really want to see how good you really are, here is it. Let's talk about how you're doing with people. Let's see how you're really doing with people. And the young man, he was very arrogant. He's like, hey, Jesus, listen, I'm good when it comes to people. People love me. Why? Because I'm rich, I'm young, I'm a ruler, I'm religious. You know, I remember one time Les Brown says that, listen, if a man has money, a woman would find something cute on him. She would look at him and be like, man, you got some cute earlobes. You know, just because he has money. You think about it. She would be like, you know, he ain't really look all that time, but his wallet does. You know, right? And so this young man, he was so arrogant in himself. He's like, Jesus, listen, I got all of these things checked. I've been doing all of these things since I'm a young man. But then there was one problem. And Jesus was getting ready to uncover what that one problem was. You see, sometimes in life, we think that we have it all under control. We think that we have everything all checked. You want me to go to church? Check. You want me to get a degree? Check. You want me to get a job? Check. I got all of that stuff, check. And we feel like these things are going to make life complete. Here's the thing. None of those really makes life complete. It is only a relationship with your Creator that actually makes your life complete. And Jesus was beginning to uncover this to this young man. You see, what Jesus was doing is kind of like an onion. You know, he was just peeling off one peel at a time so he can actually get to the core of what this young man's problem is. He thinks that there's nothing wrong with him. He thinks that, hey, listen, I'm perfect when it comes to dealing with people. I can deal with people, right? But he didn't realize that there's one thing that was missing. There's one thing that was missing in his life, and Jesus was about to give it to him. And so Jesus says, hey, listen, you have one thing that you still lack. He says, you have one thing that you still lack. And the young man was looking at Jesus, and he was looking at Jesus and trying to think to himself, well, what is Jesus really talking about? I'm not lacking anything. I'm following all the commandments that you asked me to follow. I'm good with all of these stuff. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray every day. I give whatever. I'm good. I don't have any lack. But Jesus identified that there is one thing. There is one problem that you have. And this problem is so big that it's making your life off balance. And until you fix that one problem, your life will never be able to be in balance. And Jesus says, oh, here's the problem. He said, if you want to be perfect, here's what you need to do. Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, you will have treasures in heaven. And then I want you to come and follow me. What? Say that again, Jesus. Did you just tell me to sell everything that I have and give to the poor? Now, the word perfect here means complete. So what Jesus is saying, hey, listen, if you really want to be complete, if you really want to have fulfillment, if you really want to have meaning in your life, if you really want your life to be balanced, he's saying, here's what you need to do. Sell everything you have to the and give it to the poor, and then I want you to come and follow after me. Now, this is interesting. He didn't say that you should just go to church. He didn't say that you should just join the choir. He didn't say that you should just come to youth group or come to small groups. He didn't say all of it. No. He said, listen, if you really want to live the perfect life, if you want to have complete life, if you want your life to be in balance, here is what you need to do. Sell everything. Give up your rights to everything in your life. And come and follow me. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. By reading this, most people might think, oh, Jesus wants me to give up everything that I own so I can follow him. I want you to understand that this was a specific medication for a specific patient. It was for this particular young man that Jesus was actually speaking of this, because Jesus was able to identify what his biggest problem was. And his biggest problem was his wealth. And he couldn't let go of it. Now, I'm not telling you that just because you have money that God wants you to give up everything that you have. No. That's between you and God. God will tell you whether or not that's the case. But this young man, that was the case in his life. And God was saying to him, hey, listen, I want you to sell everything that you have and give to the poor. Just because you have money doesn't mean that God wants you to give it all away. Because there are many people in scriptures that had multiple possessions. Abraham had a lot of possessions. David had a lot of possessions. When you think about King Solomon, he had a lot of things. He had a lot of money. He was the richest man that ever lived. So I don't believe that God is saying just because you have possessions, that means that there is something wrong with you. No. This was specific to this young man. And he said to him, hey, listen, I want you to give it all up. And I want you to follow me. But notice what Jesus says. He says, I want you to give it up to the poor. Now, why the poor? Here's the thing. The poor has always had a special place in the heart of Jesus. The poor has always had a special place in the heart of Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, he began to quote from the book of Isaiah when he talks about the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to who? The poor. And then he began to give you the different stages of poor. And what is the definition of poor? People who are without. So you may be without finances, but you're still poor. You may be without love, and you're still poor. You may be without a house, but you're still poor. And so what Jesus was saying is that, listen, there are so many people that are poor, and I am here to actually fulfill the desires of the poor. God says, that's why I'm here. And he looked at the young man, and he says, hey, listen. I want you to take everything that you have, and I want you to sell it, and then I want you to give everything that you have to the poor, and then come and follow me. Why did Jesus want him to give it up? As a matter of fact, he told them the reasons why. He said, when you give it all up, then you will start to build treasures in heaven. You see, the problem with this young man is that he was so focused on building an earthly treasure. He wanted to make sure that he had enough money that was going to last in several lifetimes. And so his biggest goal was the accumulation of wealth. And he consistently built upon that. And he built it so much to where it was overflowing. And now he's like, you know what? I've got it made, but I still got that one thing missing. Jesus was saying, hey, you want to fulfill that part of your life? It's going to cost you. everything you've got. Everything that you've got. Here's the thing. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus actually gives this warning when he was speaking in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And he says, hey, listen, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. In other words, what Jesus is saying, don't focus on your earthly possession. The reason why I don't want you to focus on it is because it doesn't last. Anyone can come in and steal it. The stock market can crash and you can lose everything. So if you build your life based on those things, when those things are gone, guess what? Gone. And some of you guys know the history of what happened when the stock market crashed in the early 1900s. What happened? A lot of people killed themselves, committed suicide, because they couldn't see themselves without all of that money. And so Jesus was saying, hey, listen, don't store up those earthly treasures, but I want you to build up for yourself heavenly treasures. And how do you get those heavenly treasures? Is what you do for those that are underprivileged and those that are without. And he's saying, how you're going to store up those treasures in heaven? He says, when you start giving to those that don't have. And when you give to those that don't have, you will begin to build up that store. So he says, hey, listen, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth, rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. So do not be concerned with the storing up it on earth because it's vulnerable. But if you store it up in heaven, he says, what will happen is it cannot and it will not be destroyed. So Jesus told this young man, hey, listen, if you really want to be complete, if you really want to get your life on balance, here is what it's going to take. It's going to take two things. It's going to take total abandonment and total commitment. Total abandonment of everything that you're holding on so dearly to and total commitment. And he says, hey, listen, when you do that, then your life will be in balance. And the young man, he kind of looked at that and he realized that I asked a question, I got an answer, and now I have a decision to make. But when he started weighing it and he started looking at his position, he realized one thing. Price was too high to pay. And the tragedy of this story is that the Bible says in verse number 22 that when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And why did he go away sad? Here is the reason why. Because his money became his God. His money became his God. And this young man, he could not let go of it. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Jesus talked to the young man about the second half of the commandment, which had to deal with people relationship. And when Jesus told him to give everything that he had to the poor, he couldn't even do that. So he violated all of those commands. But not only was he violating those commands, he was actually violating the first command. Because the first commandment says what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. And this young man loved his money more than he loved his God. He loved his money more than he loved his God. In other words, he couldn't even follow the one commandment, the first commandment that God gave. Now here's the thing. Whatever you love the most, whatever you serve the most, whatever you seek out the most, whatever you give to the most, whatever you worship the most, whatever you care about the most is your God. And a lot of us, we can come to church and we can follow all of the right things and do these things, but if there's anything that takes the place of God in your life, you have now submitted to that God. And when you're doing that, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you are violating the first commandment, which says you shall have no other gods before me. And that was the problem with this young man. He couldn't let go of all of these stuff because, you know what? Not only did he have stuff, but the stuff had him. And he couldn't let it go. Let me ask you a question. Does things have you? Are you controlled by your finances? Are you controlled by your relationships? Are you controlled by your job? Are you controlled by your career? Are those things getting the most of your time, your attention? If that's the case, then those things have actually taken the place of God in your life, and that is here. That is your God. And Jesus was saying this to the young man because he wanted him to understand that, listen, your God can be your career. It could be your bank account, which in this young man's life, that was the case. His money, his bank account became his God, and he could not let go of it. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, if you're going to follow me, you've got to understand something. You will never be able to balance your life by trying to do it yourself, by trying to accumulate as much things as you can. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that whoever dies with the most toys wins. And so what they do is they go throughout life and they go and they say, you know what, I'm going to try to make as much money as I can. And they go out there and they work hard and they make all this money and they still realize that their life is empty. And then they realize, you know what, okay, money didn't work, but you know what, I'm going to get the best education that money can buy. And they go out there and they study hard and they become the top of their classes and they realize that, you know what, even though I have all of that stuff, it still doesn't mean anything to me. And then they move on and they said, you know what? Okay, I had the money and I had the education, but now I want power. I'm going to go into politics. And I'm going to go to work hard to become a governor or a senator or a president. And they go and they try to do all of these things and they realize, you know what? Even though I'm so high in my life, it does not balance. It's still off balance. There is still something missing. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, in my community and in my economy, if you want to achieve any kind of balance in your life, you're going to have to totally abandon all of that stuff and allow me to balance your life. You see, God wants to balance your life like how you balance your checkbook. God is not interested in balancing your stuff. He's actually interested in you. And this was what the young man didn't understand. You see, for him, it was about accumulating eternal life. But Jesus is saying, how bad do you want eternal life? Do you want it so bad that you're willing to give up everything that you've got? Because here's the thing. In order for you and I to have that eternal life, Jesus gave up everything that he got so that you and I can have that life. And so Jesus wanted this young man to realize that, listen, in my economy, here is the thing. I'm not just interested in you just adding me to the pile of stuff that you have. No. I want to be in full control of everything that you have and watch me balance your life. So he told the young man, hey, give it all up and then come and follow me. I love what Billy Graham says about this. Billy Graham says that this young man had the right question. He came to the right person. He had the right answer. But the sad part about this whole thing was that this young man walked away and made the wrong decision. You know, you can be in the right place at the right time, hearing the right message, but still make the wrong decision. And what will happen is your life will forever be off balance. The only one that can actually put your life back together again is Jesus Christ. And as I said before, he's not interested in just being added to your life. He actually wants to be in complete control of your life. And so that's why he says, hey, listen, I want you to abandon it all. Why? Because you see, Jesus may ask you to do some stuff that you may have a problem doing because following something else. My money won't allow me to do that. My relationship won't allow me to do that. My education won't allow me to do that. And Jesus is not going to have any competition with anything that you have. So it's either you have total abandonment and follow him, or you don't have him at all. He's not interested in being a side piece. He wants to be the whole. And so Jesus is saying here, hey, listen, if you really want this life, it's going to cost you everything you've got. But I guarantee you this, when you give it up and when you follow me, you will have a life that will be balanced, that will have meaning, that will have purpose, and it will be a better life for you. And that's what Jesus is saying to this young man. But the sad thing about it is that the young man decided, you know what? The price for this is too high, and I just can't do it. You know what he did? He accepted the lesser G for the greater G. Isn't that interesting? He accepted the lesser G for the greater G. He accepted the thing that kept his life off balance and totally ignore the one thing that can bring his life back into balance again. Now, let me ask you a question. You're here this morning, and you're hearing the message this morning. Is there something in your life that is in full control of you that you cannot let it go in order to follow Jesus Christ? And if that's the case, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, your life will always be out of balance. You will always be off balance unless you have committed yourself to following him. What does it mean to follow him? It means to be committed to him. It means to be obedient to him. It means to follow his word. It means to do exactly as he asked you to do. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was getting ready to perform his first miracle and he walked into a place where there was no wine and they didn't know what to do and the people were wondering what to do. And then Jesus told the men, hey, listen, as a matter of fact, before he said that, the mother of Jesus looked at everybody around him and he said, hey, listen, whatever he tells you to do, I want you to do it. Here's the thing, guys. This is what it means to follow Jesus. It means that I have allowed myself to completely submit to his will, to his rule, to his authority, so that he can start balancing my life. You know why? Because if you just add him to your life, guess what? It's never going to make your life balance. Here's why. His weight is much more than every weight that you can put on the other side of the scale. But he says, you want to have a better life? You want to have a complete life? You want to have a more balanced life? Two things. Total abandonment and committing your life to following him. As a matter of fact, Jesus even gave a little bit more information on that, and he says that, but whosoever wishes to become his disciple, they must take up their cross. But before you take up your cross, he says, first you got to deny yourself. In other words, you have to put your will under his subjection. And he said, then you take up your cross, and then you follow him. And it is in that process of following him that you will begin to see your life becoming balanced. Let me ask the question one more time. What is it in your life that is taking the place of Jesus Christ? Is it your education? Is it your finances? Is it your relationship? If that's the case, your life will always be out of balance. Again, this young man had the right question. He came to the right person. He got the right answer, but then he made thing. What does Jesus want of me today? If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ before and you've never asked him to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, what Jesus here is saying is, listen, the same thing that he prescribed to this young man in order for him to inherit eternal life is the same life that he wants to give you right now. And he is saying that, listen, you're in the right place and you are hearing the right message. But he's saying, don't be like this young man who gets up and make the wrong decision because he couldn't give it up. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to do that, you can just indicate by raising your hand. There are so many counselors that are here today that would like to just lead you into a prayer or even talk to you about this most important relationship, which, when that happens, it will bring your life back in balance the way that God meant it to be. So the question is, what were you to do this morning? Are you going to continue to live your life off balance? Or do you want some balance in your life? You have a decision to make. And I pray this morning that your decision will be to totally abandon everything and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you will have some balance in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your message, and we thank you for your word, Lord God. And we thank you as we look at this young man's life. He had the right questions, Lord God. Came to the right person. You gave him the answer, Lord God, but he walked away and made a wrong decision. There are so many of us that are here this morning, Lord God, that maybe I've never trusted you before, or maybe we have started trusting you, but we have allowed other things to come in and to take the place of you. And so this morning, Lord God, we're asking you, as we're in the right place and we're hearing the right message, help us to make the right decisions, Lord God. A decision that will put our life in balance.